Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Neuland Laboratories Limited Q2 FY24 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Udeshi from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, friends. We welcome you to this Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call of Neuland Laboratories Limited. To take us through the results and to answer your questions, we have with us today the top management from Neuland Laboratories, represented by Mr. Sucheth Davuluri, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Saharsh Davuluri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Abhijit Majumdar, CFO, and Mr. Sajeev Emmanuel Medikonda, Head Corporate Planning and Strategy. We will start the call with a brief overview of the financials by Mr. Abhijit Majumdar, and then Saharsh will give you broad highlights of the business trends and what he is observing in the market. We open up the call for the Q&A session. As usual, the standard safe harbor clause applies as we start the call. With that said, I now hand over to you. I now hand over the floor to Abhijit. Over to you, Abhijit.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ravi, and a very good evening and warm welcome to you all for joining our Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings call. I'll briefly talk about the financials now. The total income for this quarter is 420 crores as against 293 in Q2, an increase of 43.2%. This was largely driven by growth in the CMS segment and reflects our efforts over the past several years. In comparison, our revenues in Q1 FY24 was rupees 365 crores. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at 140.3 crores with an EBITDA margin of 33.4%, an increase of 980 basis points over Q2 FY23. The EBITDA margin has improved due to both a shift towards high-margin CMS business and a strong emphasis on cost optimization. This is in comparison to an EBITDA of 99.3 crores and an EBITDA margin of 27.2% in Q1 FY24. I'd like to state that the overall operating environment still continues to be unpredictable. However, we have observed some stability in terms of input costs over the last four quarters. We have been able to effectively mitigate the unpredictability associated with input costs through diligent management of our operational costs. This strategic approach has strengthened our financial resilience and enabled us to navigate challenges more effectively. We remain committed to maintaining our dedication to operational efficiency and cost improvement programs to sustain our progress in this regard. As we have consistently said in our previous earnings call, please measure our performance over a yearly and a larger time horizon, as our revenues and EBITDA margins will fluctuate on a quarter-on-quarter basis based on business mix, which is dependent on the order inflow and project execution. Now, coming to specifics, our gross margin was 59.8% in Q2 FY24 compared to 56.2% in Q2 FY23 and 55.2% in Q1 FY24. This gross margin, as always, includes manufacturing and other costs directly attributable to the product. The profit after tax was rupees 89.1 crores as compared to 38.3 crores in Q2 FY23. This quarter's EPS is at rupees 69.4 per share. On cash, we continue to focus on internal cash generation to gear ourselves to support future capital spends. We generated a free cash flow for H1 FY24 of 128.8 crores. We have utilized part of this cash surplus to bring down our working capital debt to zero, and we paid 17.3 crores of term loans. Consequently, our net debt position stands at -39.4 crores, which means we are now more than a zero debt company. We also reduced our working capital cycle to 102 days in Q2 FY24 compared to 118 days in Q1 FY24. We continue to invest in upgrading our facilities and have invested rupees 43 crores in CapEx during this period. We would like to add that we continue to be mindful of balancing growth with profitability by continuous focus on cost control and efficient operations in order to be able to capitalize on opportunities which will bring us greater scale over the long term. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Saharsh for his remarks. Once again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Abhijit. Good evening, everyone. I'll add a few comments on top of what Abhijit has said and then we can open up Q&A. So as we reflect on the quarter and the first half of FY24, I realize that while the financial metrics reflect an improved quality of business that we've been striving to build, the operations have been conducted like any other quarter. Having said that, this quarter validates the quality as well as the underlying strength of the Newland business. And I must add that it reflects our business development, R&D, quality culture, and manufacturing and execution engine. There is also a consequence of the natural transition of our CMS business, where we have seen a few molecules scale up into commercialization phase over the last two years, and maybe a few more waiting in the pipeline. As I had stated in the past, we had been transitioning from a model that was predominantly composed of prime APIs into a CMS and specialty GDS focused business. We have seen both the potential of our CMS business as well as the impact of that specialty GDS products like paliperidone in the current performance. As we had mentioned in the recent past, the business does not have any significant one-offs even in this quarter. However, as always, I would like to emphasize and reiterate that the nature of the business is lumpy and the growing scale will not necessarily change the inherent qualities. In terms of the details, the growth of the business is coming both from commercial products as well as projects under development. The significant revenue from development is due to molecules that are very close to commercialization. We believe that the analytics that we have been sharing over the past few years give sufficient color and depth. Hence, given the sensitivity and confidential nature of the CMS business, I would not be able to talk or answer any specific questions on customers or molecules. From a market perspective, you probably already heard this before. We've seen that there has been an impact of funding crunch on early stage projects as well as projects with weak clinical data. However, we are seeing new customers come in with later stage assets, that is phase two and later, continuing to look for reliable API partners. You will see this demonstrated in the increasing number of phase two projects, which are part of the pipeline that we have shared in the investor presentation. We hope that this pipeline will give us continued success in commercializing more new chemical entities in the years to come. Our business development team stays focused and continues to pursue such high quality projects to add to this pipeline, even as the internal R&D, manufacturing, quality and project management teams work on delivery of the existing projects as well as building agility so as to respond promptly to changing customer needs. On the GDS side, even as there has been a slight dip in specialty revenues this quarter, growth is on the expected lines on a half-yearly basis. The specialty segment in H1 was driven by revenues from paliperidone, apixaban and donepezil. The prime segment contribution was primarily arising from mitazepine and the growth of the escitalopram business. In terms of the overall business, there is a positive outlook with a healthy pipeline in the medium to long term and optimism about future prospects. While there will be fluctuations at a quarterly or even at an annual level, the business itself looks very promising across the horizon. Neuland's commitment of putting the customer at the forefront of its operations remains unwavering. To align with this commitment, the company will continue to invest in its operations by establishing both new capacities as well as new capabilities. These investments are made with the goal of furthering Neuland's leadership position in key molecules and becoming the preferred partner for both existing and potential customers in the development and manufacturing of new molecules. This customer-centric approach is a central part of Neuland's strategy for growth and success. So having said that, I will now request Ravi to open up the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Also, participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Meet Katrodia from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening and congratulations team for the good set of numbers.
This is your first... voice is not very clear. Can I request you to...
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Yes, thank you.
Yes. Yes, first question is, company has mentioned about 43 crore of CapEx for the future capabilities, but the kind of capabilities realization level that we have now, and also considering the business visibility, free cash flows, and healthy balance sheet we have. If you could provide some guidance on the future CapEx plan, or if not CapEx, then what is the thinking of the management to bring next leg of growth for the new land?
Do you understand the following question?
So, could you just repeat the question a bit? We couldn't catch it. Could go a little slow.
Yeah, speak a little slowly, please.
Okay, okay. What is so basically the question is, what is the future CapEx plans? And if not CapEx, so what is the thinking of the management for the next leg of growth?
So, as we have consistently said in the past earnings call, our focus on cash, right, as we kind of look at cash and keep optimized so that we have the cash for our growth opportunities. The second is what we have consistently said is as and when we start allocating capital for growth, right, we would come back to our investors on our plan from an execution perspective. So you should see some action in the next two or three, 4 quarters. But they need to be kind of, placed to the board. They have to be discussed internally. So kind of, I'll just leave it at that.
I think from an overall number, if the regular capex will be about 100 to 120 crores, if there is any additional opportunities or additional business which has a certain level of certainty, then this number could go up or down based on that.
Okay, sir. So second question is a very good percentage of contribution by CMS molecule in overall top line. So seeing this kind of jump from 45% to 55% for this quarter, what can be the share of CMS molecules going forward for the full year, considering the visibility you have?
So I think it goes without saying that the CMS business has outperformed our expectations as well. But frankly speaking, the CMS business is really a function of how the drug is doing and how our customers are, how much API are they procuring. So I think it just happens that the CMS molecules volumes have picked up and have gone beyond our expectations, and I think that has resulted in the CMS actually contributing to more than the GDS. But I think for us it's very difficult to answer that question directly because both businesses are very independent of each other and both have their own potential. It's just that, the GDS business was a little shy of what we expected to do, and the CMS business did a lot more than what we expected it to do. I think, and it's part of the business. So I think how would this we extrapolated is very difficult. I think we'll have to watch the next few quarters, and I think we'll have to, more importantly, see how specific molecules do. And but yeah, I think, you know, the approximately somewhere between 60-40, 40-60, I think it's beyond this, it's very difficult for us to pinpoint.
Okay. Next question is in the revenue from development side. There is a big, almost double kind of jump in the revenue for this quarter. So are there any one or two specific molecules contributing to such big jump? And if yes, then as you mentioned in initial remarks, that these molecules will get commercialized in upcoming quarters. So basically, I want to understand the potential of these molecules, how much times of revenue they can generate in commercial phase, like 2, 5, 10, what times of revenue they can generate?
I think I'll just be brief in the interest of time. The molecules, their upside potential is something that we don't believe is valuable to disclose because, you know, it's hard for innovator molecules for us to cap or to be able to estimate that how much they will do. I think there is definitely potential for growth. There are more molecules as well. But yes, I think the salience we have disclosed in the table clearly tells you how many are in commercial versus how many are in development. So I'll just keep the response brief. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Katoria. I request you to join the queue for any follow-ups as your fellow participants are waiting for their turn. Also, before we move to the next question, I'd like to remind the participants to please limit your question to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. And congratulations, team, for consistently beating our expectation, I think, sequentially. So my question was related to that development, with the CNS revenue part. So you said that one molecule, which actually had opted for, you know, which is near commercialization, so that has an offtake. So just I wanted to understand that whether we have catered to full order size of that particular molecule, or this is a part of a bigger order we have in hand for that particular molecule in development phase.
So Ranveer, I think with regards to the commercialized CNS molecules, the orders would come across the year, and typically I think because these are molecules that are still under patent, I think there is a visibility that we get from the customer in terms of how much API they need over the years. And as we get closer to the period, which is, you know, on a rolling quarter basis, we get confirmed orders. So at this point of time, you know, it's safe to assume that every year we will have orders. It may not happen in equal proportion every quarter, and then again depends on a molecule to molecule basis. But as I had indicated in my opening remarks, you know, one-time orders. But I think we can also feel reasonably confident that, you know, all this business that we are seeing is having a degree of recurrence, and it may not be identical every quarter, but it will have a set pattern of recurrence, especially the commercial ones.
Okay, so my question was related to that particular molecule, because we have other molecules also in hand, so I can understand that we will keep on getting orders for different molecules. Anyway, so second question was related to that unit 3, what is the status, what kind of utilization currently we are standing at?
Yes, so I think just to top off that second, first question you asked, we have, you know, I think we have disclosed that we have several commercial molecules right now. I think about 5 or 6 of them contribute actively to our commercial business on CMS. So we have multiple molecules, which is the short answer, but not every molecule contributes equally. Therefore, you know, the surge in the business or the growth in the business is also clearly indicating that new molecules are contributing more. With regards to your second question, I think we're at about 60-65% utilization in Unit 3. But I would also like to add to that Unit 3 has further headroom for more capacity because the site itself is a large enough campus where we can create more facilities. But in terms of the current installed capacity, we are at about 60-65% utilization.
And that unit can, when we can expect peak revenue, including that expandable capacity there?
I think it really depends on how the molecules phase out, scale up. So I think we are constantly reviewing our capacity situation, and I think the benefit we have is because we already have an operational unit 3, we will be able to create capacity within, say, 12 months from decision making. But I think we will disclose as we, you know, create more capacity. But at the moment, there's nothing much I can indicate as when we will be creating or.
Thank you. Mr. Singh, request you to join the queue for any follow-ups. The next question is from the line of Ishmohit Arora from Soik LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, just a question, like in next 6 to 12 months, are we expecting any more molecules to go commercial? Like in last conference, I think we mentioned two more molecules might go commercial in next 6 to 12 months.
I think again, you know, it's going to be difficult for us to be very specific for, you know, the time period you ask. I think if you go back to the investor calls that we've had even 2-3 years ago, we've maintained that we had a pipeline of 5-6 molecules which were one step away from commercialization. I think in the last 2 years, two molecules have become commercial. I think in the next 2 years, maybe 2 or 3 more could get commercial. But I would not, you know, dwell into further detail with regards to 6 months or 12 months. But yes, you can definitely expect some more commercializations in the next couple of years. But the timelines would be, you know, very difficult for us to indicate.
No worries, sir. Thank you. And so second question is, any key risks, sir, that we can foresee to the sustainability of the sustainability that we see right now in terms of CDMO momentum?
Sorry, can you
repeat that, please?
Second question was, are there any key risks that we are seeing to the sustainability that we are seeing in the CDMO growth over next 2-3 years, like in terms of basically the funding drying up for biotech in the US?
I think the funding situation, I think for the molecules that are getting commercialization, I think although we work with biotechs and we keep saying that, the biotechs which have commercial molecules have adequate funding. So we don't see any challenges in commercial supplies getting any kind of restrictions due to biotech funding. I think early stage, yes, there is definitely a funding challenge. But, you know, I think our business model is such that it's not really impacting us that much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Also, I think in terms of your...
Thanks for listening.
Ishmael, is the question answered?
Yeah, question's answered.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Newland's current form is akin to that of Indian cricket team, which keeps surprising on the upside, especially the seam bowling. Coming to my questions, some of the major participants in the European API market have lately acknowledged that new competitors are coming from India. Euro API and others have also issued a warning regarding their profitability projections. I know you have had 200 pre-arranged meetings and over 50 walk-ins in the recently concluded Barcelona CPHI. So what's the take on the ongoing supply chain rebalancing, please? Thank you. And I've got another question.
Thanks, Sajal. Hopefully, our performance of the Indian cricket team will continue till they win the World Cup and not stop at the league stage. But that aside, I think... there's definitely a lot of buzz of Indian CDMOs in the global marketplace. And I think, yes, we've seen in the press about Euro API and some of these guys, you know, mentioning skepticism. But I think from I think our take on it is that, you know, this is a very vast space, you know, $60, $70 billion space, where no player is more than, you know, $2, $3 billion in terms of size. So for us, you know, we feel like we're swimming in an ocean and we hardly see any competition. Even in the CDMO space today, in fact, Suchet and I were just talking to one of our board members. If we take our top 10 molecules, none of the 10 have overlapping competitors. If I take the pipeline of the new projects that we are doing, which we have received in the CMS business, no two projects have the same competitors in the bidding process. There's so many different players, they're Indian players, they're European players. So for us, you know, it's very difficult to gauge. You know, at the end of the day, we have a healthy pipeline and that pipeline is enabling growth for us. And we have control on what actions to take in order to keep sustaining that growth. But
hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, we request you all to please remain connected. It seems that we have lost the line for the management. Please remain connected while we reconnect them. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for that. We have the management line reconnected. Sir, over to you. Sajal, may I request you to please repeat the question?
So, no, that's okay. You don't need to repeat the question. Sajal, are you there?
Yeah? It was answering the question.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, I was saying, Sajal, that I think European API companies are wary of Indian companies and vice versa as well. So I think it's a healthy competition, but as Harsh rightly said, the CDMO business in terms of the market is so huge that there is a lot of opportunity out there. Now, the key for Newland, and since we have a lot of interested stakeholders on the call as well, is to make sure that Newland doesn't get confused with other CDMOs in terms of what we do as an organization. I think for us, going forward, the key is to be very clear about what is it that we can do and what we cannot do and make sure that we carve out that brand and image with our customers so that we have those long-term relationships. And that's what Newland has all been about and we keep saying, and you're referring to CPHI, Sajal, one of the things we always talk to our stakeholders is that we've hardly lost a customer in the last two decades. So I think customer is the center of our focus, but I think point is valid, is we have to look out for our European competition as well.
That's helpful. And second question is, press release on peptide building blocks was issued in January 2009. So could you please provide the performance evaluation of this optionality after 14 years? In terms of learning and measurable outcomes? Thank you.
I think the peptides press release you're referring to, I think it indicates our entry into the peptides business, which was a very organic entry. We started off making these fragments because those were technically closest to what we did as a company. the idea was to climb up the value chain, getting to making more complex fragments, make, you know, building blocks, so to speak, and supply them to peptide CMOs who actually make the final peptide APIs. And the idea was to further climb up the value chain, getting to making NCE peptide APIs, and also in parallel start making generic peptide APIs. I think in a nutshell, that was the plan. I think in terms of where the journey has led us across the 15 years, I think the straight answer is that we've actually made that progression. We started off making building blocks. We then got into making peptide fragments, working with European peptide CDMOs, supplying them the fragments. Then we started working with innovators, making peptide APIs, NCEs. And then we also started developing peptide generic APIs as well. But I think what you're, you know, probably hinting at, which is the report card, I think it's fair to also admit that the business itself has not contributed significantly to us. I would probably attribute that to two things. One is, yes, could we have, you know, put in a greater emphasis in terms of development capabilities and maybe, you know, develop more molecules? I think the answer to that is definitely yes. But more so, I think, in terms of if you look at that table of molecules that we consistently publish, out of the 80-odd projects that we have at least about 14 or 15 peptides. But none of them have actually made it into commercial and become successful commercially for us. Had that happened, perhaps it would have been a different story altogether. But having said that, we don't want to sound like we have kind of given up on peptides as well, because we're working on some exciting peptides both in the NCE space as well as DMFs for generics. But I think the music will be heard when actually you start seeing the business come in. Until that time, it will be kind of like, you know, a lot of lead indicators that we will be giving to you in the form of commentary. But I think Newland is a serious player in peptides. Unfortunately, the only time will tell how good our efforts have been.
Second, definitely. Yes. I think Saras did mention something on the lines of the fact that we have innovators coming to us for their peptide APIs itself is a marker of our capabilities on that front. When that actually translates into commercial revenues and impacts us significantly, I think that is more how the market, how the products move through the pipeline. I think that is not in our control. And also from the generic side too, I think we have made significant progress on a number of molecules, but the commercialization, and we are ready at a lab stage, but I think the commercialization will, I think it depends on the molecules and the customers that we are partnering with.
I think another qualitative addition, Sajil, to the question is, if you take Big Pharma as a category, I think most of our investors are aware that we're not very strong on Big Pharma. We work more with biotech. But you will find it interesting that for peptides, actually we work with Big Pharma because their typical suppliers don't, you know, work on peptides as much. So we actually have, you know, two European Big Pharma working with us only on peptide projects. So that's also perhaps an indicator that, you know, we are a serious player in peptides. But yes, I think I would also admit that in terms of our revenues, they are not still a dominant contributor for us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Jain from, as an industrial investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Saras and Nick and Newland team. Many congratulations on great set of numbers. My question is, in last 10, 12 years, you built now almost a 500 crore CMS business. And along with the journey, you would have built reference capability, project management capability, scientific capabilities. And now I believe all building blocks are in place and probably now the world knows you for your capability. Now, can you help us how you as a management see next 5 years, some qualitatively, how you see CMS business unfolding from here, maybe some aspirations, how you see it, can you give some color?
I think definitely give you a sort of a vision of what we have for the CMS business, maybe not in a quantitative way. The the kind of track record we have built for ourselves, and more importantly, the credibility we have built for ourselves, as you had acknowledged, in terms of building strong R&D, project management, execution skills in the plant level, quality culture. I think those have helped us couple with a strong, you know, working relationship with a biotech. I think these have been factors that have really built this healthy pipeline. Now, when you look at the landscape, innovation landscape today, I think still 70% of the new drugs, which are small molecules, are being developed by biotech companies. So I would definitely say continuing this path is front and center a priority for us. We would want to work with more and more biotech companies. We would want to be a part of as many phase 3 commercial launches as possible. But at the same time, we recognize that for us to be able to, you know, expand the basket of customers, we would also have to create the right kind of capabilities, create the right kind of capacities for that. So I think we're actively exploring what we can do. I think the gentleman earlier was asking about peptides. So for example, having peptides as a capability helps us work on more CMS projects. So that's a very good example. Having deuterated molecules as a capability helps us work with more innovator companies. I think as we speak, we're also evaluating what are the other adjacent areas that we should be looking at, you know, should we look at, you know, different kinds of maybe carbohydrate chemistry? Should we look at maybe, you know, high potency? So I think these are questions that we are trying to answer. And but I think it would be safe to assume that we want to be, you know, focused on this human healthcare biotech space. But as we create larger facilities, I think obviously we would also want to align better with big pharma and try to create, you know, more value for them as well. I think the next 5-7 year plan is more focused on that. And then I think beyond that, we'll have to look at, you know, what else we can do. So yeah, anything you want to add? Yeah, so I think that's kind of what we think. In terms of numbers, I think it's really difficult because, you know, we are definitely doing better than what we expected. I think quantifying it from an investor perspective really doesn't make any sense because, you know, it's like the world is your oyster. So, you know, it could become as big as you could want to.
Sure. And again, my second question is, Harsh, now almost if you, I see a 2012-13 balance sheet and now I see a balance sheet which probably a business which is throwing cash and upward of 200 crore annually. Would that mean you will become more aggressive in terms of capability acquisition or CapEx? Some color, and I mean, on one of the answer earlier as participant, you said probably next 3-4 quarter you will take a call. But some qualitative indicator how you are thinking about your CapEx plan, acquisition plans, looking at the balance sheet where it is today.
See, I'll just kind of, you know, share the management intent over there. I think Suchet and I had explained this in the previous investor call as well. I think what we have achieved now, not just in terms of numbers or business mix, is we have established a certain level of credibility with our customers in terms of what Neuland can do. This is not just for the CMS business, but even if you look at the specialty API business, I think the customers we work with really value the work we do. And one of the main advantages of this platform that we have created is that future investments will be made based on certain shared visibility that we get from our clients. This is a very important concept or a theme that we want to weave into our future planning. And what that really means is we may not necessarily go into creating a lot of capacities or even capabilities without having that support or guidance or assurance from our customers. I think that is a position we have earned ourselves into, I would say. And therefore, I would probably say, yes, we will have to allocate capital for growth. We will have to create capacities, but they will be done in conjunction with our customer needs. And therefore, you will not see a situation where, we will create, maybe a 1,000-liter facility and then wait for 4 years to fill it up with products. We may start creating production blocks based on certain, visibility we are getting from the customers we are working with. And that kind of capital allocation is what we feel will, help us keep that ROC high, and it will help us keep making those necessary investments. So I think that's broadly the theme of how we are looking at, growing the business. So there is a little bit of conservativeness in it, but we also think it's not necessary to go and create huge capacities without any visibility from the business side.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, I'd like to remind our participants to limit their question to one per participant. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Ahuja. As an initial investor, please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the great successful number. So I have the two questions. One is from for the GMS segment and one is for the GDS segment. So in the CMS segment, I want to know that one of our client, Asterion, which are, I think has dedicated production block in our one of our manufacturing unit for the Nexatel All and Nexatel Edit. So I want to know that if this kind of capacity that we create in our plant that is also fungible across the product, and and recently we have at the CPHI Barcelona, how the thing were that, as I have seen, we have the various pre-booked meeting there. So how the thing going that, how the image or a brand Newland is now now commanding compared to the various previous years. So this is my question one. And second, my question is on the GDS segment. Is that true that now you can only file a US DMF if you have a valid customer or on the customer request? Because we have a healthy pipeline of the molecules which have the US DMF filled, going off patent in next 3 to 4 years. And also, as per our annual report, we are going to file 6 years DMF every year for the next few years. So is that assumption is correct? That can you explain about that? So,
Rohit, I think in consistent with what we have said in the past, I don't think I'd want to answer product-specific questions or project-specific questions when it comes to our CMS business. I think we have already shared a lot of color on that. And when it comes to the GDS business, I think a lot of our work that we do is the products that we select and the products that we move is on the basis of our understanding of the products of the market, which we have developed over a period of time. And we consistently see that we have customers who are in those therapy areas and in the US market come to us for those products. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, we always have a customer for a DMF that we are filing. And the capacity that we create is always fungible.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay from Ampersand. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on great set of results. So my question is that is there any kind of a seasonality to your number? And of course, you have given some number relating to the stage 2, which has doubled. So how will that kind of feed into your numbers in the future, if you can just help us understand that?
So there's no seasonality as such, Sanjay. As we've mentioned in the past, we do expect quarter-to-quarter volatility just given the nature of the business and what our customers require in terms of deliveries of the material from us. Apart from that, we've also mentioned in the past that not only just a quarter-to-quarter, but some of our sales cycle and manufacturing campaigns are so long that some of that volatility can even spill into the next year as well. So it's just a question of the nature of the business rather than seasonality.
How about the stage two, which is doubling? Does that kind of give us some indication of how things will evolve going forward?
See, I think the doubling of the revenue is an indication that new molecules that are getting commercialized are contributing significantly to the business. I think if you couple that with the other statement that we've made, that this business is not one time, it's not one off. Also couple it with the lumpiness comment, I think it's fair to deduce that the growth is there and it will continue. The percentage growth or how much will it grow to is where we cannot give you any indication. But yes, I think definitely with these molecules commercializing, there is a growth in the CMS business which will continue. But I think with regards to the quantum of the growth, I think you will have to see how things pan out. We won't be able to guide you much on that.
Yeah, and Sanya, if your question was with regard to the number of phase two molecules doubling, I think that is more a testament to the the attraction or the brand that we have been able to build, and that would feed in over a period of time. But what we also need to keep in mind is the follow-up rate from phase two to commercialization, which may be somewhere only around 1 in 4 molecules will reach there. So this is more a indicator of our how attractive our CDMO capabilities are rather than just an indicator of future potential.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul as an industrial investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Sorry, I joined a bit late. So, if this is
all Rahul, may I request you to speak up a bit? Your audio is not very clear.
Is it okay now?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to have a perspective from the management on how do they see the journey 5 years, 10 years ahead. You know, if they can share what's a North Star for the company, and you know, if they can talk us through the progression of Newland, let's say moving from a small cap company, let's say to a mid cap company, and maybe at some point a large cap company. So these are just, you know, market caps, but I'm more interested in the journey that they, you know, foresee, and if the ambition is to kind of, you know, transition towards making the company at that scale, and how that will unfold over the next 5 to 10 years. How's the management excited on that perspective?
So Rahul, there's no simple way to answer this question, but typically the process that we follow as management, as an organization, is that we typically forecast our numbers, our future, over a 5 to 7 year kind of a period, because that for us is a realistic window without it getting too hypothetical or theoretical. Once we do that, we look at what the numbers look like, what do the margins look like, what do the growth percentages look like, and whether that's reflective of a healthy and opportunistic growth as well. If it's not, then we spend our time or energy identifying opportunities which is more reflective of how Newland should grow and what the aspirations of the management are. Once we have those numbers, obviously we bring it back and look at the assumptions on what is our CapEx, what should be the capacity, what should be the people strategy, you know, our financial strategy, all of that, so that we're very clear on what the potential obstacles, what the potential risks could be, what is our ESG strategy going to be. And we spend a significant amount of time doing that. I think with respect to your specific question about what the future could look like in terms of the market cap, small, medium to large cap, as a principle, we don't share any outlook in terms of numbers, and we continue to hold to that principle, but I think internally we do take a very long view of the business and make sure that it is in line with how we would like to see the business overall. So I mentioned, I think, between me and Harsh in the previous call that we do have a clear set of strategic priorities, six strategic priorities, which tell us what we want to do and, more importantly, give us clarity on the areas that we don't want to focus on in terms of specialty APIs, our CDMO business, the kind of markets we want to go after, the kind of customers that we want to go after, the quality of infrastructure, the capabilities. Each of those strategic priorities tell us where we should be putting all our energies and, more importantly, not putting our energies as well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hussain Qazi from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. And so I just had one question, and I like to come back to the comments you made about CapEx and putting additional capacities only when you have some visibility of sorts, you know. This is quite different from what, you know, conventional wisdom would kind of indicate. And so I wanted to know that, is this a strategy which the company has followed over the years, or is it an outcome of the extremely lumpy and difficult years that we have seen, say, over 2018, 2019, or even H1 of last year? And now we are quite conscious of the balance sheet or the financial stress that we would want to take. Thank you.
Before Harsh adds his perspective, Hussain, let me clarify that given the nature of the business, what Harsh was saying is that the business has evolved to a point where there are certain molecules where we can actually invest in a CapEx where we have a significant amount of visibility. Now, that doesn't mean that every CapEx we do will have that kind of visibility. It's just not possible because, as you know, our focus is to grow our CMS as well as our GDS business. And on the GDS side, given our strategy of being a multi-product facility, there will be CapEx that will get invested based on our best estimate of future projections of volumes, for which we will not have a signed contract or a certainty in revenue. So Harsh's point was that there's a part of the business that evolved to the point which gives us the ability to invest in CapEx where we have that assurance, but they'll always be part of that CapEx or business which will not have that assurance.
So I think Suchet answered it, but I want to have the satisfaction of clarifying myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that we have crossed the line for the management once again. We would request everyone to please remain connected while we reconnect.
Is it done?
Yeah. Hello?
And so I was just clarifying that the decision to make CapEx investments based on visibility that we get from customers is actually a position of privilege that we have put ourselves over the years of building this business. So I think that's something that I would like to reiterate. It's not necessarily something that comes out of the past pain or the past difficulties of going through CapEx programs. And also, as Suchet said, you know, there is a GDS business. There is also basic R&D. There is a lot of new capabilities which don't necessarily require a customer sponsorship. So when you look at, you know, capital investments in a business like ours, one area where you need the customer visibility is the capacity creation. But if you are looking at creating more R&D labs, you're looking at creating a pilot plant, you're looking at creating, you know, scale-up facilities or even a GDS facility, then those are investments that the company would have to make on its own. So I think, you know, the point that was being made earlier is that Newland, we will not probably undergo huge CapEx spends with no business visibility. We will be prudent in terms of what investments we make. But having said that, I think as management, we alone can visualize how what infrastructure is needed, and we will not necessarily wait for a customer to come and sponsor CapEx for us. So I think between what Sucheta said and I said, I hope that clarifies and helps you understand how Newland looks at CapEx. It's not necessarily coming out of any cost strain or concerns.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yasir Laklawala from M3 Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a great performance. Behad, question on your CMS business. If you could probably highlight some, you know, qualitatively, so what are the nature of the projects and molecules you're working on? Are they sort of large volume, small volume, sort of, you know, in sort of production style, or are they more chronic, acute, sort of, are they in like niche oncology or rare disease areas? If you could just highlight something qualitatively so we get a field of, the customers that we are sort of working with, and, you know, the long-term sort of, trend that's happening in the NCE space, be really helpful.
I'll just give some, high-level facts about the CMS business. If you look at, say, the 7 or 8 of our, commercial, near commercial APIs in the CMS business, one thing is that they're all with biotech companies. The other thing I would say is that they are a mix of chronic and acute therapies. I would also say, again, we have a mix in terms of range. If you look at, some of smaller volume products, batch sizes maybe 10, 20 kilos, with annual requirements being in tens of kilos or hundreds of kilos. The larger products in this list would have batch sizes of anywhere from 500, 600, 700 kilos with an annual requirement of 100 tons. So I think our CMS business is fairly diverse in that sense. But yes, I think the basic commonality is there it's biotech. I think incidentally, many of the molecules are also in the CNS therapeutic area, but it's not like we are CNS specialists and therefore we have those CNS molecules. I think it just so happens to be that way. I think in terms of how we intend to, if you look at this portfolio itself, we don't necessarily see success coming out of, acute therapies or chronic therapies or CNS diseases or anything like that. But what does matter is if a molecule is, having multiple steps of synthesis, if it has some cost of goods challenges, the basic supply chain is originating from India. I think these are 3 or 4 factors that drive an innovator to Newland. We've seen even just to give you examples of molecules that don't fit our pipeline and, we've not been successful. You take very high value therapeutic areas, the innovator needs only 2 kilos of API a year and it's a multi-billion dollar drug. So the API sells for tens of thousands of dollars a gram. In those kind of cases, maybe the innovator is kind of comfortable with a European or in-house manufacturing. So other than that, wherever there is a cost of goods challenge, wherever there is a challenge of, complex chemistry, multiple steps, and, life cycle management is important. I think that's important. I think the one other common thing about our CMS pipeline qualitatively is, and we had mentioned this earlier, is the patent life. I think we did have 1 or 2 molecules whose patents have expired and they don't contribute anymore. But now the pipeline that we have, the patent expiries only start after 2030. So the other comfort that we draw from our CMS pipeline is that, next 7 years or so, we should, continue to see the exclusivity benefit us. So I think these would be some of the highlights qualitatively that I can share without getting into any specifics.
Thank you.
And they're all given healthcare. That's one thing I didn't mention.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
We'd like to thank you for taking time to attend the call and asking questions which draw greater insight about the business and the future. While we would have liked to have answered everyone in the queue, we hope you understand the constraints on time. Having said that, please reach out to Ravi if you have any specific questions. We would be happy to answer them to the extent possible. Once again, thank you for your time. Look forward to meeting you again and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Neuland Laboratories, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.